You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Tuesday to the Gym Class here in KGYM. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben on the other side of the glass, and most importantly, you, our listener out there. Love to have you on the show today. You can contribute via the text line or the phone line at 319-366-1600. 1600, that is 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on a Tuesday, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour, brought to you by DePaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at DePaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being. John Steppy of the Gazette will join us. We'll talk the latest as far as Iowa football recruiting news is concerned. We'll talk about his series as well, looking back at the top moments of the 50th anniversary of Title IX and how they impact the University of Iowa. We'll talk all about that with John coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Some baseball things to talk about. A few things coming out of Boone today as far as the Iowa High School Athletic Association is concerned. So quite a bit. As well as the official announcement that Iowa is in the Emerald Classic and who they will be playing. So that and a whole lot more coming your way here on the program, and that includes your next chance to win from the John Deere Classic, as we will have a pair of any day admission passes, plus a one-day parking pass for you to see the stars of the PGA Tour play at the TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois, coming up on June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's the 51st annual edition of the John Deere Classic, and we'll have that before 4 o'clock here today. 319-366-1600, that is the text line available to you. There have been a few days like this at the old Deere, both at Silvis and at Venerable Oakwood back in the day, Mark. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon to everyone, and yeah, you're right about that. It can get pretty warm at that tournament. That coming up later this month, by the way. And folks, this guy to my left, or he's actually across from me, talking earlier, doing some show prep on the phone, he said it's not that bad out. I said, if you like a furnace blowing in your face, yeah, there's a nice wind out there.
Thank goodness there's a breeze.
Scott handles warmth like this better than I do.
Yeah, I've always been one that I'm okay with it. I'd much rather have it warm than cold. I hate the cold.
True.
I hate it. Hate it. Why am I in Iowa in the winter? That's what I ask.
Let's take it on the road.
Yeah, there you go. We can do the show from warmer climes. We can do that. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program here at KGYM. As we mentioned, John Steppy will join us coming up a little bit later on today. And it is now official. We knew this yesterday, that Iowa was a part of the Emerald Classic. Iowa will take on Clemson. Interestingly enough, Mark, that game is going to be the first game of the doubleheader that will be played in that particular two-day tournament. And it is going to be on Black Friday. And it is going to be a 6 o'clock start. If you look back on the announcement of the Iowa-Nebraska football game on said Black Friday, I believe that is a late afternoon start as well.
I think it's 3.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Maybe a little overlapping action?
I don't think the – and the TV folks do a fantastic job. I mean, they are 97-98% spot on as far as, you know, things – not overlapping, not putting two teams' fan bases going on at the same time, whatever, different stations, different channels, blah, blah, blah. They missed the boat on that one. Unless I don't know, unless I have not heard something about what TCU or Cal playing on Black Friday, and their game is also at the same time for football. They probably could have flip-flopped those two in a
better. Maybe still will.
Well, they could, I suppose, and been in better shape. I don't know, but there you go. You're going to have some overlap between Iowa basketball and Iowa football, more than likely, on Black Friday.
Didn't we have an issue in the NCAA tournament with the Iowa men's and women's team?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that wasn't the best either. That wasn't the best either, but yeah, it is what it is, and you know, you'll get around it, we'll get around it, everybody will get around it, and there you go. We'll just keep plugging away, I guess, but you got that to look forward to. Please, it's a marathon on that day. It is not a sprint. It could be a long day for Iowa fans on that particular day. And we don't know exactly. Iowa State could have a basketball game that day as well. Who knows how that'll play out. But at least for Iowa fans, that could be a long, long day with the football game followed by the basketball game.
Friday, November 25th, it is.
It is. It is. Learning more about the Iowa basketball schedule, in fact, I noticed that Chad Lystico at Hawk Central and on the Des Moines Register site put out an article about that, talking about Iowa's non-conference schedule. And what was it, about 3 or 4 years ago, Iowa lined up a really tough one as well. And maybe not even that long ago, 2 or 3 years ago, the Gonzaga year and whatnot. Well, you've got Iowa already with Duke and Clemson. They'll have another ACC team with the Big Ten ACC channel. Or no, I guess that's Duke. No. Iowa Duke is a different beast, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, so they'll have the Big Ten ACC challenge. Iowa should be in the Gavitt games this year because they were not included last year. Of course, a couple games as far as Big 12, including a game with Iowa State at home. This is shaping up to be a very, very good Iowa men's basketball schedule, non-conference-wise, for this year.
Yeah, of course there's going to be some clunkers in there, but already shaping up to be a really good schedule for this basketball team that will get a chance early to prove itself.
Yeah, yeah, they will. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. That is the phone line as well as... Few news and notes today. Also, we talked about and hinted that a few things coming out of Boone today with the Iowa High School Athletic Association. One of them, not surprising at all, it was formally announced today that the state dual wrestling championships will be in Coralville at Extreme Arena. And that is going to be a tremendous weekend as well. You will have the inaugural, Mark, girls state wrestling championships sanctioned by the Girls High School Athletic Union. That will be, I believe, at least Thursday and Friday. It might be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then the day formally housing the sectionals for boys wrestling will now be the state duels, and that will take place also at Extreme Arena. So that's going to be a big week of wrestling down there.
Yeah, it really is, and I like the fact that it's not nothing against Des Moines, but leading right into the traditional state tournament. I never did like that, but I think it's a good move and one of many announced today by the state association.
Yeah, basketball with the others, as far as the announcements are concerned. Announced today that as far as boys basketball is concerned, they will move back the release of the pairings for the postseason. It was about mid-February. Well, no, check that. Actually, late January, maybe early February, as far as the pods, at least, before. And then the coaches would get together and seed those pods and determine 1 through 6 who was going to play whom as far as the games were concerned. Now, that is not going to be the case. And this is the advisory from the Boys Basketball Coaches Association. This is what they wanted to do. They wanted to push it back and have the Iowa High School Athletic Association use the data gathered and the records at that point, maybe only about a week out from the postseason, and then put out all the assignments at that time. So they're going to try to get a better field as far as the state tournament is concerned. And then when the state tournament rolls around, it will not be the coaches seeding that as well. It will also be the Iowa High School Athletic Association. So a couple of changes right there, significant ones. And as I mentioned, that is what the Basketball Coaches Association wanted. And everybody is applauding that so far.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be a huge change, but it is what the coaches wanted, and as you pointed out to me earlier today, Scott, there were maybe a couple coaches in seating meetings placing a team on a certain line, knowing that didn't have to play that team.
No, coaches coaches figured it out over the last couple of years. How they can avoid a team by you did not put your team. It was 1 through 6. You voted 1 through 5. You did not include your team, but you could gerrymander the results. How's that for a political term right there? You could gerrymander the results and who you would play by how you rank them. And that was starting to happen more and more. So that's why they made the change. And good job on their part. And now if we can get that charge circle, we got the shot clock next year. Now yeah. If we can get the charge circle underneath the baskets like they have in college, we're going to be really talking some stuff.
Already some summer basketball tournaments, AAU and whatnot, are using the shot clock.
True.
And I think it's met with pretty good results so far.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's going to be coming next year, and that's going to make things much more interesting to start things off. So there you go. There's some news as far as Boone is concerned. 16 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here in the Gym Class program on KGYM. We'll get you a Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Tomorrow we got Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. We're going to be talking with Brian Haas, and Bob Herrig is going to join us tomorrow as well, live from Boston, as he will join us from the U.S. Open site at the country club. Not going to talk really golf today. I will say this, though. I am really, really, really surprised because Phil Mickelson went out today with a practice round with John Rahm, as a matter of fact. Phil getting a lot of love from the Bostonians on the golf course. I got to say, that surprised me, Mark. I got to say, it surprised me. Not that they were going to let him have it on practice days. I didn't think that was going to be the case, but it's almost as though nothing has changed, which is really surprising in my view.
Yeah, it is to me, too. We'll see what happens Thursday and Friday when the tournament is real and Phil may, you know, fade one into the long grass and get a couple jibes. I don't know. I've said all along, I'm interested to see how the LIV Tour guys are going to be received here in Boston this week, and looking forward to talking to Bob Herrig because he was in London and can tell us about the atmosphere there and what the first tournament was like. So.
Yeah, we're going to find out about that coming up tomorrow. And Brian will answer your questions about your game. That'll be coming up tomorrow. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, we have those John Deere Classic tickets for you and a parking pass. We will get to that coming up in just a little bit. Wanted to talk a little Major League Baseball, Mark. Couple of things. First of all, good news and bad news for the Atlanta Braves. Ozzie Albies is going to be out for a significant amount of time with an injury. Too bad because the Braves are red hot right now. Tell you what, last you looked a couple of weeks ago, the Braves were mired well under 500. 12-game winning streak will change things in a positive manner really quickly.
Sure will.
As the Braves now are 35-27 and only 5 games behind the New York Mets at this particular time. But as we mentioned, Albie's out now for a while as far as Atlanta baseball is concerned.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, obviously. And the same thing is close to true with the Cleveland Guardians, who just won't go away.
29-27 now is Cleveland. By the way, the White Sox putting Liam Hendricks on the injured list today. He's got right arm strain on his right arm. So make of that what you will. As far as the Sox are concerned, Yankees still continuing to lead baseball with a record of 44-16 right now. Houston has amassed a 7.5-game lead. Maybe the AL Central is better than the AL West, Mark. I don't know because at least there are two teams over 500 in the Central, right?
Yeah,
there's only one team over 500, and that's Houston as far as the Western Division is concerned. Yankees, Toronto, Tampa, Boston, all over 500 right now. Just the AL East continues to be absolutely amazing. And to be honest with you, Baltimore, as I've said all year, that is not a bad baseball team. And they're hanging in there right now. 26-36 does not look great. But when you consider the teams that they play most nights, that's still not bad.
Yeah, as good as the East is, the Yankees aren't allowing anyone to get back in it. 9-1 in their last 10, and the lead in the division is 8 games over Toronto, 9 over Tampa Bay. There's just, you know, unless the Yankees go on a skid, and I really don't see that happening, a lengthy one, man.
Cardinals have just won again, by the way, as the Cardinals beat Pittsburgh by a score of 3-1. That is the first of two. They will play again tonight. Mikolas on the mound for St. Louis against Wilson for Pittsburgh coming up this evening. Your Twins are on the West Coast again. Did you make it through last night's game?
No, okay. I didn't intend to. I watched. I did watch 5 or 6 innings of it. And then it came time for a little shut-eye. But woke up this morning and saw that the Twins won 3-2. And they really have an interesting approach with the pitching staff, and I don't know whether it's intentional or not. Chris Archer went 4 innings last night, was effective, and was taken out.
Yeah.
And Rocco Baldelli, this isn't a great pitching staff in the first place, but – you know, maybe piecing some games together is the way to go. It's worked okay so far, and now the Twins get Sonny Gray and Joe Ryan back. That's a positive thing, I think. But Seattle and then off to Arizona.
I think Ryan's going tonight, as a matter of fact, as far as the Twins are concerned, as they are at Seattle coming up this evening. Yeah, with the Cardinal win, they are now 1.5 up on the Brewers in the National League Central Division. Pittsburgh in third right now. And Cyclone Tim, watch out. Your Reds are only a 1.5 from escaping the cellar at this time. What happened to the Washington Nationals, man? It's not that far removed from the Nationals winning a world championship.
Not very much, no.
And they can't get out of their own way right now. 23-40 right now. Second worst record, almost the worst record as far as the National League is concerned. And, yeah, all those fire sales and whatnot finally starting to gather momentum in Oakland because the A's are – mired right now. A's at 21-41. Second worst record in baseball. And unfortunately, the worst record in baseball belongs to the Kansas City Royals. Royals right now 20-40, 60 games into the season. And I can say that I am worried for our friend Cal Eldred. Down there, and Mike Matheny and everybody. They've already made one move as far as the hitting coach is concerned, Terry Bradshaw, a few weeks back. I I want to see good things happen to Kansas City because Cal's a friend of ours, and I want to see him stay in baseball.
You know, question, but you can't deny the record or the performance of the pitching staff, and the hitting was a problem. They lose a 2-0 game, a 3-1 game, get good pitching, couldn't get any runs. I think saving Cal right now, a helper anyway, is the fact that Mike Matheny is the manager, and true, they're very tight.
True. But what happens if Mike goes?
Yeah.
That's going to be that could be a sticky situation. Could be a sticky situation as far as the Kansas City Royals are concerned. But we'll see. We'll see. A lot of season left as far as baseball is concerned. That's what I keep telling myself each and every day, Mark. As the White Sox struggle and struggle. Yeah. You know, if it's not your manager walking people with two outs, it's your savior starting pitcher coming back and getting into a dugout shouting match with your third base coach. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's never a shortage of things to talk about as far as the Chicago White Sox are concerned right now. Hey, they're 1-0 with that, so maybe it worked. I don't know. Maybe the starting pitcher can get into a debate with any coach on the bench. As long as they come away with wins, right?
One of the usually must see post game shows is Ozzie Guillen with the White Sox. In my mind,
yeah, because he doesn't pull any punches.
He doesn't.
Ozzie will tell you what he thinks. A lot of people still want Ozzie back. If La Russa came back and the White Sox, if they make a change, bring Ozzie back. They've done it once. Can they do it again?
Yeah.
That would be, just like yesterday's game, when Ozzie was in charge, every day was entertaining on the south side of Chicago.
It is now, too.
It is on television right now. There's no doubt about that. 327. Colonels are back home tonight, by the way. You'll get to that. Coming up on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. John Steppe is going to join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes. And yes, Cyclone Tim on the text line, Northland basketball doesn't worry much about the shot clock. No, they do not. There are other teams that do not, but there are going to be plenty of teams that are going to have to make some big adjustments and coaches that are going to have to make some big adjustments.
No doubt, especially late in games.
Yeah. It is going to be very, very interesting to see how that plays out next year, both in boys and girls basketball. And I think especially as far as the boys game is concerned. And but they've had tournaments, and they've had the rivalry Saturday with the shot clock before. Didn't make much of a difference. 2 years ago, there were only 2 shot clock violations throughout the day. So don't think it's going to be a big factor, but you also have to remember that was most of those teams were playing their first or second games of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's different than, like you talked about, playing a late February game or an early March game. Going to be a big difference. 319-366-1600, 328. We're going to talk to John Steppe of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, who covers Hawkeye football. We will do that coming up in just a little bit, but first, I want to throw it over to Mark with an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, located on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, behind Taco John's. Might be a little bit on the warm side out on the patio tonight at 4 o'clock. So, may want to opt for the air conditioning tonight. Jamie will treat you well, though.
Either way, it'll be a good time at Emil's. The Iowa Hawkeyes, have landed a baseball recruit, Chase Mosley from North Scott. He most recently was at Kirkwood, and he was the Iowa Community College Player of the Year this year after hitting .322 with 21 homers and 79 RBI. The College World Series is set. 4 SEC teams in the field, which includes Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Texas, Arkansas, Razorback deal, Stanford, Mississippi, and Auburn. That action gets underway on Friday. And we'll talk with John Steppy about this. Iowa picked up a running back recruit, a four-star from Naples, Florida. His name is Kendrick Raphael. We'll get more on him from John.
Yeah, all indications, this was a very good pickup as far as Iowa football is concerned. And also, Iowa State football picking up a recruit as an in-state recruit as well, as far as the Cyclones are concerned. And see if I can find that name real quick here. I know he played at HMS, Hartley Melvin Sanborn, as you know, Mark.
I do.
And he's an athlete, played the played quarterback last year as well as on the defensive side. As I look through and look through and look through here, and I can't find him. Anyway, in-state recruit. Iowa State doing very well as far as recruiting lately is concerned. 319-366-1600. Going to get a weather update. We'll come back. John Steppy will join us, and we will talk a little Iowa football with you and also talk about his series in the Gazette about the 50th anniversary of Title IX. He's doing a countdown right now as far as the 50 most significant stories as far as Title IX at the university is concerned. We'll get a weather update. Come back after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. Excessive heat warnings continue today as temperatures remain in the 90s. Heat index values will be in the triple digits for several hours this afternoon. Later on tonight, we'll have some passing clouds. Temperatures drop down to around 70 degrees. It remains warm and muggy. Tomorrow, it's hot and humid again with temperatures in the low 90s. Heat index values near 100 and the chance for strong thunderstorms in the afternoon and evening. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Good morning, boss.
What's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk.
You mean hope desk?
Hope desk.
I call and hope I get help, but they either stick me on hold or say I'll get a call back in a couple hours. We need help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, then you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
Get help now with IT Solutions. They continually monitor their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hope desk for you to call for your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you never just hope, you get help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Learn more online at weneedhelpnow.com.
We need help now. .com.
Missing football? Come see a special exhibit honoring the life and achievements of Papa Bear George Halas at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. This renowned player, coach, and owner of the Chicago Bears and co-founder of the NFL was a first-generation Czech American. Follow the story of his life through this exhibit, featuring artifacts and photos from the NFL Hall of Fame and the Chicago Bears. Experience gridiron champs George Halas and the Chicago Bears now at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library.
Right now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Get best-in-class cleaning power with a Generac pressure washer. With Generac's rugged durability and maximum performance, you'll be able to get stubborn dirt and grime off of surfaces easily. All Generac pressure washers are 11% off. Good through June 19th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Did you know that motorcycles are vehicles with the same rights and privileges as any other motor vehicle on the roadway? Safe riding practices and cooperation from all road users will help reduce the number of fatalities and injuries on our nation's highways. Because motorcycles are smaller than most vehicles, they can be difficult to see. Their size can also cause other drivers to misjudge their speed and distance. All motorists are reminded to safely share the road and to be extra alert. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
We are back with you at 3:34 here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott and Mark with you as we take you through the Tuesday edition of the show presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. And we'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. Cooper Ebel, by the way, Mark. He is the gentleman out of Hartley Melvin Sanborn.
E-B-E-L, is that right?
E-B-E-L, correct.
Okay.
Athlete, and he gave a commitment to Iowa State today, in-state recruit for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones. And we're going to talk about some recruiting. A lot of things on the list to talk about with our next guest, John Steppe, who covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter. And thankfully, John, nobody is no college football practicing today outside because it would be brutal today. How are you?
I am good. I am staying cool in my air-conditioned apartment. My car right now doesn't have working air conditioning, so trying not to spend too much time on the road today.
The life of a journalist. Hey, John, we concluded the scoreboard with an announcement that you were well aware of earlier today, and that was the commitment from Kendrick Raphael, running back from Naples, Florida. Can you talk about what you know about him?
Yeah, really a great addition here for the Hawkeyes, a four-star. Well, depending on what system you use to do the ratings, but most places consider him a four-star running back to get him out of Florida, too. You know, that's an area that there are certainly connections on the Iowa staff, certainly with Odell Betts. He's very familiar with that area. And to get him over a lot of other schools that are a lot more geographically close to there as well is definitely a good get for the Hawkeyes. That really sets them up at running back for this next year's recruiting class.
Well, and his Twitter account says 10,000% committed.
That's a bit, not just 100%.
No.
So I'm not quite sure how that's physically possible.
It isn't.
You know, I was thinking I must have missed that day of, I don't know, is that physics? But either way, a good get for the Hawks.
Yeah, it is. And I obviously was wowed by Iowa City because he came in over the last weekend and made the commitment just like that. So obviously a good job done by Liddell Betts, among others.
Yeah, exactly. And we're seeing that happen more often with recruits going on their official visits and not waiting long before then pulling the trigger and making a commitment. And part of it, too, that I think sometimes people don't realize is with a lot of these offers that recruits get, there oftentimes are expiration dates on that. It isn't like this is just an offer that's remaining open forever. So if you have a good experience on your official visit, like Kendrick seem to certainly have, it makes sense to make that decision official earlier on, and could see some more news like that considering the future guests heading to Iowa City later this month as well.
How is the 2023 class shaping up? I think there's what, maybe 10 or so commits right now, but some pretty good ones.
Yeah, and this should be a class that, granted, recruiting rankings will change a lot. They'll change plenty more as well. So, of course, all this is tentative, but this should be a class that's pretty high up there in the top 20, top 30. Right now, Rivals has them tied for 16th. So that's a pretty good position to be in for Iowa as a program that is more of a developmental program and a program that is not as aggressive with NIL as maybe some other schools, like, say, a Miami, Florida, which picked up a commitment from Jackson Carver, who is a Hawkeye target at tight end. So overall, if you're an Iowa fan, you have to, well, you probably will like being right around 16, considering the circumstances.
Right, and also, I think, helped by a pretty good year as far as in-state recruiting is concerned.
Yeah, and 2024 in particular has been a great in-state year for the Hawkeyes, where they've gotten already kind of a blanket on the state so far. And that's also why they've been consistently, regardless of whichever your preferred recruiting site is, consistently ranked in the top five nationally, with four recruits, all four from the state of Iowa. So some of the locations not far from here either, with Monticello and Williamsburg. Other locations tested my Iowa geography a little more with Winfield and Winthrop. But that's a really good way of casting the net in state in 2024. Of course, on the 2023 side, as you were mentioning, Cooper Ebell committing to Iowa State, Jameson Patton committing to Iowa State, and last week, Ty Black committing to Iowa State. They haven't been 100%, but you certainly wouldn't expect that either, considering that Iowa State is another Power 5 program in the state.
John, what about this Aaron Graves dude? He wins a national award, that Patrick Mahomes and others have won. Tell us about him.
I would not want to get in a fight with him. So that's the basic breakdown. Really physical guy and somebody who's a little more old school. You're not going to see him lighting it up on Twitter or Instagram or anything. So committed very early on to Iowa. So a little bit of a lower maintenance recruit for Iowa staff to get. And this is somebody who I don't think he's going to be starting right away, considering all the circumstances, but he has a good shot at playing significant snaps as a true freshman, even though he did not enroll early. And that says a lot, too, considering the current defensive line position is rather stacked with experience coming back, with Zach Van Valkenburg being really the only major loss at that position group. But Graves is a guy who can come in and potentially contribute right away. And when you look at that Max Preps Award that he won, when you look at the people who've won it before, that's a pretty good list of people to be on that same list as. Derrick Henry, Terrell Pryor, Lonzo Ball, and now Aaron Graves going to Iowa on that list too.
Could not believe somebody was out there arguing that he should not have won because he finished fourth in state wrestling.
Wrestling in the state of Iowa too.
Yeah, and after the previous evening, he scored like 32 in a basketball game.
How much can one person do?
It took every ounce of energy to not comment on that. I did well with that. John Steppy joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Since things have unfolded a little bit, how surprised are you about Charlie Jones leaving Iowa again, like Tyrone Tracy, enrolling at Purdue? And in your opinion, anyway, who could we see now taking his spot, returning kicks for the Hawks?
I think everyone right away had a surprise when they heard Charlie Jones was going to transfer, not because of the fact that someone was going to transfer. This is in May was a common, it's typical to see some players after spring practice, maybe not so thrilled with how spring practice went and decide to take their talents elsewhere. I think people, myself included, were surprised that indeed was Charlie Jones. But looking back, you can see the different possible reasons for that in terms of this is tight end U here at Iowa. It's not wide receiver U. And you've got players ahead of him like Keegan Johnson, Arlen Bruce. Nico Reganey's been spending a lot of time with Petras in the offseason, so there's a lot of chemistry being built there. So you look at it, and if he wants to be more involved in the offense, maybe someplace else is his best chance to do it. So that was kind of my takeaway of him transferring. As for who maybe steps up, I think one possibility is somebody who's not at the wide receiver position. Luke Lachey, if he takes another step up at tight end, we could see maybe a little more of 21 personnel, 22 personnel, where there are two tight ends on the field at the same time. And that could be part of the solution to that. Then you have a lot of other names who could possibly step up at wide receiver. It's just a matter of who exactly it'll be. Obviously, there are people like Deontay Vines. Brody Brecht probably has his hands full a little bit with the two-sport balance. Caden Wettjen, the transfer from Iowa Western Community College, would certainly be an interesting person. Jackson Ritter, I think, is definitely somebody to have in that conversation. So we'll see soon enough, though.
You didn't mention Scott's favorite, Cooper DeJean.
Oh, which one is that?
Oh, to return kicks, Cooper.
He can only play so many positions at one time. But I have heard him in the mix at returner as well as Arlen Bruce at returner. So those are two names I would say are probably at the top of the list at returner. So that's what I would expect there on the special teams front. And then I mentioned the guys before on the offensive front.
John, let's talk for a minute about facilities, because we know about wrestling and baseball, Duane Banks Stadium. And just give us a status of the physical plant right now for athletics.
Yeah, so the first two, actually I'd say the top one on the list here would be the wrestling facility. That one, the cost has gone up, but the plan has always been that that will be entirely donor-funded. So that one's coming up. Duane Banks Field is going to have a pretty significant expansion there as well. So there are a lot of project ideas in the works that haven't quite gotten as far as the wrestling and baseball projects. So gymnastics, field hockey, our two sports there. Softball is in need of upgrades as well. So there's plenty of things on the wish list for Gary Barta, but it's a matter of raising the money. And while the media money is media rights money, I should say specifically, that money is back. You've got the contributions back from the ticket sales. You've got a lot of the things back that were a big problem during COVID. It's still a $40 to $45 million deficit that they have to make up for. So it's still financially, it's not exactly the greatest time to go on a big spending spree. So it's a matter of raising money for those projects, but the needs are clearly identified as well. Gymnastics, I think I might have forgotten to mention earlier. So those are the ones that are certainly on the deck there for future projects.
Let's talk a little NIL before we move on here. You mentioned it a little bit earlier on in our conversation here that Iowa not quite as aggressive as far as NIL. I think that's easily said. I don't think Iowa's ever going to be at the top as far as giving out NIL money, things like that, to future recruits and whatnot. What is the threshold, though, that you think that Gary Barta can look for as far as trying to get future athletes into the programs?
Well, the clear thing that Barta has said about NIL is he wants to make sure he does it right, is his kind of go-to line. And he doesn't want a pay-for-play situation. So there is clearly that guideline. Sounds like the NIL collective is coming together. Not done yet by any means, but continuing to make progress on that. So time will tell how quickly they can get the rest of that tied together. But it certainly will involve some kind of services. So this is not going to be a situation. I would be shocked if Iowa got to the situation where you have, like, what's been some of the rumors of the SEC of seven-figure NIL deals to try to get a recruit to come. No, that does not sound like what's going to happen here at Iowa. So you're right. I think Iowa really is not in the best position to be the NIL capital of college football by any means, and I don't think they're trying to either. I think they know what they're good at, and when there's a collective, that'll help. because that's certainly something I've been hearing. It's been coming up in recruiting. But for now, it kind of puts some of the football staff in a difficult position when they're going up against these schools that do have a lot of NIL infrastructure in place, and Iowa does not have that yet.
John, I'm kind of unclear what a collective means. Maybe you can get inside the nuts and bolts. Is it businesses going to Iowa and saying we want to be a part of this thing, or is it Gary Barta having to go out and recruit, and is that his job, really? What is a collective in Iowa's case?
That's a great question. Yeah. So it is a third party. So Gary Barta cannot directly be involved. He can talk to the people who are creating it because those are boosters. So there has been communication there, but it's a third party person who will be running this. And essentially, people can pool together money separate from their donations to the iClub to raise money for NIL deals for Iowa athletes, is essentially the really short version of a really complex situation right now with these collectives.
There you go. There you go. Hey, been enjoying your series about Title IX and remembering that, the 50th anniversary. You're up into the top 10 now. Number 10, I think, came out today as far as dealing with Iowa women's basketball. And just kind of talk about that a little bit, the research that went into that, and coming up with all those different milestones.
Yeah, it's been really fun to put this together. I've learned a lot about Iowa history, that's for sure. A lot of people have around the athletic department have been very helpful as I've been doing a lot of research, a lot of looking through the record books. So it's been fun to put that together, and a lot of Iowa history too for women's athletics in particular. I think the thing that I've heard a couple times is nationally, people really know of Christine Grant as a Title IX pioneer, and locally, sometimes it's a little easier to take her for granted because she's the person that people might see in Iowa City, you know, doing her shopping at Hy-Vee and everything, and not realizing that she really was a Title IX pioneer. So there's a lot of history to go through. One person asked me, was it hard finding 50 moments? And it actually was harder narrowing it down to 50 moments. So a lot of great stories, as you mentioned, getting into the top 10 now. So every day in the Gazette, you can check that out. And we also have them all on our website in the archives. And there's a Title IX anniversary tag that if you go there, you can see all of our coverage. And we have a few other things in the works that I am looking forward to sharing in the next week or so that are a little bigger than the individual moment stories.
Yeah, what I like about the series, John, is they're short, sweet, and fairly complete. And I appreciate that as a reader. And to be clear, this isn't a ranking from 50 to 1 necessarily in terms of importance, or is it?
Well, it's a roughly... like, number one is something that a lot more people remember than number 50, that's
okay.
For sure.
Okay.
But it's loosely ranked, I would say. It's pretty much an impossible task to have a definitive, this absolutely is number 8 and this is absolutely number 9. Because when you look at some of the teams like Iowa Field Hockey, it's been to a gazillion Final Fours. Well, how do you rate one Final Four above another Final Four? So it's a loose ranking, but I wouldn't, if I was reading it, take it too personally that I ranked one thing number 13 and another thing number 16. I had a bunch of index cards all over my kitchen table for a few days trying to figure out how do I rank all of these. So I was eating dinner on the couch that day. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun to put together.
Yeah. You can find that at thegazette.com. Give him a follow at jsteppy1 and read his stuff at thegazette.com. John, always fun, and keep up the great work. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. Always a pleasure.
All right. John Steppy joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Before we get to break, going to give you an opportunity to win from the John Deere Classic. The 51st annual JDC is coming up right around the corner, June 29th through July the 3rd. We have a pair of any-day admission tickets plus a one-day parking pass for you to win out there if you have not been a winner over the last 30 days. Caller 6 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You will pick up those terrific tickets. Back with more after this.
Join us for the Linn County Fair, June 22nd through the 26th. Bring your friends and family and have some fun at the place where great memories are made. Get your tickets to see Rodney Atkins live in concert Friday, June 24th. With 6 number one hits, he'll put on a performance great for the whole family.
He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you.
The show is sponsored by DeKalb Seeds, Mitch and Debbie Zumbach, Quickstar, and DuPaco Community Credit Union. Gates open at 6, and the show starts at 7:30. For ticket information, go to thelinncountyfair.com. The fair is located in Central City, just 15 minutes north of Marion, June 22nd through 26th, with free daily parking. Sponsored by SPS Inc., Linn Newsletter, Iowa's News Now, CopyWorks, and MediaCom. Get all the details at thelinncountyfair.com. And start your new family tradition at the Linn County Fair.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired a scary movie victim.
Oh no, a tree fell on my car, and there's only one thing to do. Trip over my own feet and pull myself across the lawn while yelling help at a barely audible volume.
Sorry to interrupt, but you filed a claim with GEICO, so you've got a designated claims team to help you.
This GEICO sounds suspiciously reassuring. Are you sure I don't end up getting surprised with an unexpected twist?
Just that your GEICO team will always be there to keep you updated.
No!
What is it?
Oh, nothing. I just didn't see that coming.
GEICO, great service without all the drama.
Hello, Discover here to explain our cash back match. Here's how it works. We give you cash back for using your Discover card on the things you were going to buy anyway. Then we match that cash back in your first year. And that's why we call it cash back match. Now to recap and say cash back one more time. We match all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
Congrats to Garland from Cedar Rapids. He is our winner today of the John Deere passes and the parking pass as well. We'll have those the rest of the week for you right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. And Matt, the Michigan fan, tight end you or check down you? He says, just kidding. Just kidding. I think Iowa and Michigan will duke her out this year coming up on the gridiron. Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. Bob Herrig as well coming up tomorrow. Golf-centric. Looking forward to it.
I am as well. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yep. And stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have yourselves a great Tuesday night. Stay cool.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions. Plus,